Hello, everyone. We're back. Three and the Key Podcast. Myself, Ryan. Friends call me Rai Chai. Feel free to do the same. Sitting across from the one and only MD. What is up, my dude?
What's going on, man? Last week of school for you. Finally. Can you feel it?
I can feel it.
Yeah.
My body is tingling with excitement.
Yeah.
Yes. Some would call that malnutrition. I call that end of the year excitement.
End of the year excitement.
Dude. I can't wait, man.
Well, not only because of school, but along with the legitimate end of the calendar year to Christmas around the corner. This is your Christmas present.
Yeah.
Being done with school.
Yeah, for who cares? No one spent any money on me whatsoever. The mere freedom of not having to go to class anymore is enough. I'm a free man. My chains are gone. I've been set free.
So many lines there to sing, but yes. We'll leave that for another time.
Yes, indeed, indeed. Well, let's go ahead and get recapping.
Let's do it. So we're kind of doing a little earlier because your final schedule, your finals are on Thursday. Mm-hmm. So our usual recording is Wednesday, but today we're doing it back to our early schedule, back when we used to do it on Monday nights. Lakers are 2-0. Close games, really close and tight games. The Miami one we expected.
Mm-hmm. You called it right.
I thought it was going to go overtime too. You remember? Did. I was like, overtime's so close.
It almost did. I thought they were going to lose the game, and I predicted them to lose, but you were correct in staying loyal to our Lakers.
I thought they'd bang one out. You know, and they have nothing to stop Anthony Davis down low, so he did have an amazing game, and Jay Butt showed up. Jay Butt and Tyler Hero and Bam and Chris Nunn out of nowhere.
Yeah.
These guys just... Miami, second in the East, and they're a good team. Good squad. I think Chris Bosh said it, or someone said it best. I was reading a tweet after the game, and that game definitely had playoff vibes, for sure.
It did, and it's cool to see LeBron back in Miami. You know he gets up for that. He has businesses out there, friends out there. So the atmosphere was bananas. And like you said, Miami is one of the best teams in the league right now. So it wasn't an easy game by any stretch of the imagination. So to pull it out on the road, Miami was undefeated at home going into that game. The Lakers were like, what, won 14 in a row or 13 in a row or something like that going into that game. So it was a great storyline and the Lakers pulled it out, which was awesome. Heck of a game, heck of a game.
Let's see if we can repeat it against the Bucks this week.
Oh, I hope so, man. I hope so. That's a collision course right now.
Mm-hmm.
The two best teams with the best record in the league, as we sit and record this at least, are going to be playing on Thursday. And we'll see if Milwaukee pulls out the game tonight against Dallas.
They're losing right now, 59-56. Go Dallas. One of the few times we'll root for another team to kind of shut Milwaukee down. But we'll see. I don't know. Do we want them to win? Because the Milwaukee will come out that much harder against the Lakers if they definitely win. But then if they lose,
they're going to be hungrier to avenge
exactly.
the loss. I personally want the storyline of the Lakers ending the streak.
Yes.
I want Milwaukee to come in riding high and having won, I don't even know how many in a row they've won now, but it's crazy. I want the Lakers to snap a streak and for it to be a dominant statement win where it like wasn't even close. Like we just destroy them on the inside. Giannis gets shut down by AD and we win by over 10. I think that would be incredible. That might be asking for too much, but I think the storyline is there for the Lakers to make a big statement. And if the statement will be larger if Milwaukee is going into this game with a streak. So I kind of want them to have it.
Oh, I know. It's exciting, exciting. Moving forward to that Atlanta game, which was also a close game and definitely should not have been close.
No.
I will blame some of that on the refereeing for sure. The officials were terrible that game.
Mm-hmm.
I saw way too many like missed calls or calls that they would call for the Hawks. I guess you just call that home court advantage, but it should have been another blowout. And then out of nowhere, Trey will hit a three or they'll get some free throws to kind of slow the tempo down. Lakers won only by 5, 101-96. Again, keeping teams under 90, which is great, but when they barely score 100, not happy about that. they had a tough game. You know, they always have tough. So my big thing is the Lakers always have tough games holding speedy, fast point guards. That, I feel like, has been a weakness repeatedly. I feel like we, thankfully, Avery Bradley's back, so he kind of helped quite a bit.
That's huge.
Yeah, huge. Our perimeter defender, like our primary defender is back. Mm-hmm. And having him back definitely helped keep Trae Young in check, at least bother him a little bit. But we'll see if that can continue. We'll see how that plays out to moving forward in the rest of the season.
Yeah, I like the tweet that we saw on Reddit just now. I think it was Pete Zayas from Lakers Film Room. He said the Lakers tried to lose this game and came up short. Like, in all reality, if this was any other team with different personnel, the Lakers would have lost that game. But the Lakers are just too good. Like, they have AD, they have LeBron. So more often than not, you're going to win these games when you shouldn't be winning them, just because the star power is so strong. The number one thing that stood out to me from this game was the three-point percentage. Again, I know we've beat on this a lot. 16%. 16!
And guess who made all the threes? LeBron.
Yeah.
LeBron is our best three-point shooter right now. Remember the debate we had? What's been crazy, too, is Dudley's actually been getting some time, too, to kind of help with our three-point percentage. And also, he's actually a solid defender in the paint, at least.
Yeah.
He goes straight up every time, and I saw him quite a few times, not only in the Heat game, but as well in the Atlanta game, change quite a few shots, ended up being in misses, because he knows to just, he's got a big body, goes straight up, hard to get around.
Yeah, he's a savvy vet, so he's been around the game long enough to where he has the old man game. He doesn't have to be the quickest, he just knows that if he's within like one step, he can get there from a certain angle or whatever, so he's very savvy. But yeah, His minutes have gone up, I think, the past couple of games. He played almost 17 minutes this game. I remember turning on this game in the first quarter. I saw him out there. I'm like, what, Dudley? I looked at the score. I'm like, wait, we're not blowing him out. Like, he's just in there. So I think he's slowly winning the affection of Frank Vogel, which as of right now is fine if we're winning. But I would hope to not see him too much, because I don't want to be in a position where we have to rely upon Jared Dudley for production.
Right. What I'm curious is like, Jared Dudley is basically taking that Troy Daniels or Quinn Cook spot, right? Where it'd normally be kind of like 15 minutes. That additional 15 minutes, Frank doesn't know what he's doing with the rotation yet. He doesn't know who that's going to, and he's been giving it to Dudley lately. Mm-hmm. Because he's been performing well. He performed well in the Miami Heat game. I mean, his plus minus is at least zero. It's never been negative. He hits open threes when he needs to. But I'm curious why he hasn't plugged in Quinn Cook yet. I know you and I have been huge fans of Quinn Cook. I don't know if it's just because we're so stacked with the guards, especially with Avery Bradley being back now. It's kind of tough to fit him into the rotation. But I don't know. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I think it has to do with what you touched on when we talked about it last time. It's his defense. I think that Frank just doesn't like what he gives up on the defensive end and doesn't think that it's going to be a net positive, even if he's hitting a couple of threes a game, to justify getting him out there. But there are some stretches where the Lakers just need some three-point shooters to knock down some shots. Because LeBron's had some sick passes to even someone as reputable as Danny Green. He's gotten it into the corner and Green's just clanking them.
And that's Green's shot. Those corner threes are what he's known for, you know?
So I almost feel like it's a little bit like a mental problem right now for the Lakers. I remember last year with free throw shooting, Lakers were so bad that it just like kind of spread across the whole team. I feel like the whole team as a whole right now is in a rut from three. And we need someone to get hot and it to just kind of slowly start to make its way to the rest of the team. Because we have shooters. Like, Pelinka did a good job of surrounding LeBron with some shooters this year. But everyone's just cold right now. So cold. But
we'll see. I mean, that is another step. Three-point shooting, if we can at least get 40% as a team. Mm-hmm. 39%, 37%. As a team, not 16.
No.
And
no.
Having that 16% come from LeBron and Rondo.
Right.
Oh my goodness. LeBron hit some like crazy threes though in that Atlanta Hawks game.
He did.
My goodness. That was unfair, what he hit. Like, they were legit 5 feet behind.
Yeah.
And it was just like, dang. He has, I think someone said it best, he has, at 35 or 34, 35, LeBron is still updating his game, like still pushing his game to be even better.
Yeah.
And he did that recently by getting a more consistent three. And that's just crazy to me how much he improves, even at this age.
For sure. It's funny watching him play when you know he's going to pull up from three. He like kind of slows down his dribble a little bit and it looks like he's going to be going right. And then he just pulls it back into his body and just pulls up for a three. You and I have watched the game and been like, oh, he's pulling. And he does it more often than not.
So I was reading an article yesterday about that and how people at the game were saying that other players are starting to read it now.
Mm.
But recently, he just did it in the Hawks game. They called him when he slowed his dribble for pulling up for a three. And so they stepped up. But as soon as they stepped up, he read it properly and just zoomed by them and got one of his crazy dunks.
Oh, wow.
So it's like he has the counter for your counter to counter you and can counter your counter. It's just crazy how smart and how brilliant he is.
Yeah, it's insane. And he, for all that savviness, he just won Player of the Week again. So it's producing results. Like, I know that type of accolade doesn't mean much to him. He's won it like 60 something times, but it's notable for the fact that A, he's performing at a high level. Like you said, being able to adapt and counter people's counters, even when they know what he's going to do. But B, it's kind of a cool thing. This is his first time winning Player of the Week as a Laker. And right. I think, and which means it's the first time winning Player of the Week in the Western Conference for LeBron. He's never done that before. Obviously, last year was the first year in that West. He never won it. This year he did for the first time, and I'm sure more to come, but just a little note there. So good job, LBJ. Keep it up, dude.
You're our only hope.
You are our only hope right now from three, unfortunately. All right, MD. With that, let's go ahead and transition into our next key. So we got a heck of a schedule ahead of us, man. And in the second key, and really final key, it's going to be a shorter one today. I want to just talk about what we have to look forward to, what the Lakers have to look forward to in these next few games, because they have a tough schedule ahead of them going into Christmas and even after Christmas to close out 2019. We got two more road games. We got at Indiana, at the Bucks on Thursday, the collision course game that we were talking about, which I'm so stoked to watch. Then we got Denver at home, Clips at home, Portland in Portland, and then closing out 2019 with the Mavs. But I want to focus on these three we have coming up before Christmas, because we'll be recording again before Christmas. And at Indiana, at Milwaukee, and then at home versus Denver. I am of the opinion that the Pacers game is going to be a tougher game, but we're going to handle business pretty easily. And the same with the Denver game as well. Doncic is going to be out because he rolled his ankle, is going to be out about two games. And it's really just the Bucks game I'm most concerned about.
Denver, Doncic, I mean Dallas, Doncic.
Oh yeah, my bad. Oh, shoot, you're right.
Yeah, it's Denver Nuggets next.
Yeah, with the Nuggets.
But we beat them once, or twice already.
True.
Once already.
Yeah, I was looking at the bottom of the schedule and I saw Dallas. But yeah, for Denver, I actually am, so roll that back. Both the Milwaukee game and the Nuggets game, I'm concerned about, because Denver is starting to pick it up again.
Yeah, they're looking good again. They're looking like the Denver of old. They finally found shooting. Their shooting percentage has gone up big time.
That, and Jokic is playing at a much higher level than he was in the beginning of the season for the first several games.
He's finally back in shape. That was a joke. That's the joke everyone's been saying.
he just worked himself back into shape during the regular season.
Yeah.
He's like, forget off-season workout, off-season prep. I'm just going to take the first 20 games to get in shape, and then I'll be good.
It's worked.
It's working. I mean, they have a good enough team to where even when he's not doing well, they're winning a decent amount of games. Like we see in the standings that the Nuggets are still in what, top three, I think it is.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. So they have a lot of talent. And for that reason, I think that the Denver game is going to be really tough, but the Milwaukee one's the one we're going to circle. And I think everyone in the NBA is looking forward to seeing that. Two best teams in the league, identical records. It's going to be crazy, man. What are you most looking forward to, or what, anything of note for these upcoming games?
I'm excited to see all three of those games, like you said. The Bucks game obviously is going to be the creme de la creme of games. Like, everyone is so excited for that. I, myself included, I'm bummed that we can't watch that game together since you're going to be out. But
yeah, it's funny you say creme de la creme because the Bucks have their City Edition jerseys are cream city.
And knowing Thursday, they'll probably wear the City Editions just probably. Like they wore against the Heat, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm excited to see. So it's like, we definitely get to see, to me, it's like three different kinds of play.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana Pacers, we get to see the Lakers go against a great team. A team that really plays like a team. They have five different starters, I believe, that are all scoring in double digits. So wow. It's really a team effort on how the Pacers win. That's kind of always been the Pacers style. I'm excited for them when Oladipo comes back because they'll be an amazing team. But it'll be to me see the Lakers go against a great team, kind of like how the Lakers had to go against the Pistons and lost. Mm-hmm. We'll see if the Lakers are able to pick apart and play enough team defense and find the holes to defeat a good team. Now for the Bucks, it's going against an amazing superstar again. Mm-hmm. Just trying to stop Giannis. Or not even stop, limit the other players and just let Giannis, make it difficult on Giannis right. As much as they can.
They're just stopping him.
Right. It will be AD against Giannis, and that's going to be the marquee matchup.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see them to go against each other. It'll be cool to see LeBron, too, go against him. Because I think Giannis, they have him playing the small forward position, if I'm not. Or no, it's Chris Middleton playing the small forward position.
Yeah, I think it's more Middleton.
They just move him around everywhere, Giannis. Mm-hmm. So he's playing point guard sometimes. He's playing a guard. Mm-hmm. He can guard 1 through 5. It's crazy.
Yeah, he has the ball so often. Like, his usage rate is insane. So Odds are someone's going to pick him up that wouldn't normally. You know, or he's playing out of... quote unquote out of position, but for him, he can do anything. So,
right. Positionless basketball is the future for sure.
Yeah.
Seeing him, like, how can the Lakers go against a great superstar? And then going against Denver again, it'll be kind of a rematch game, seeing how much the Lakers have grown and how much Denver has grown.
Yeah.
It'll be cool to see, like, those three steps and those, like, that's what I'm looking for in each game, how the Lakers play against those teams. And how they kind of combat those, like, uphill battles they have to take against for each team, each one of their strengths.
Right. For that game, the Milwaukee game, the Lakers and the Bucks, as of right now, have the two highest field goal percentage in the league.
Oh, man.
And I think that has a lot to do with how much interior presence that they both have. The Bucks are shooting, like, almost 49%. And this whole season, and then the Lakers are shooting about 49% as well. So, man.
The scary thing is, though, you see that, dude? That freaking three-point percentage is the same. They take 9 more threes, though.
Right.
Bucks. I'm scared of that, because that's been our weakness.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Because if they're taking 9 more threes, and they're making them at a rate of, what, 36%?
Right.
Let's just call it 4. Let's just say they make 4 out of those 9.
Right.
That's 12 points right there, which can swing a game, you know, if it's close and the Lakers
That's
are...
their, like, point differential, though. Mm-hmm. It's 12 points. It's because they just take 9 more threes and they have a specialist, Chris Middleton, that can hit them. We'll see, though, man. Danny Green's been in a slump, too. I'm hoping... Like, I'm looking forward to this game, this Indiana game, and hoping that... okay, like, we need to force feed the ball to Avery Bradley, mm-hmm. to Danny Green, to mm-hmm. KCP, to these role players to get them confident enough yeah. to get that 10 points per game that we can get out of them.
Yeah.
Even as a team, even as a group, you know? And then our second unit, man, like, we're going to get destroyed.
They're sorry, man.
Yeah.
They're really yeah. sorry. It helps us that, and it sucks for Bledsoe, but he's out for 2 weeks. So Milwaukee is going to be a little bit shorter with their backcourt help because they're sliding up someone who's normally a reserve. I forget who's sliding into the starting position for them now. But the Lakers are going to be playing a Bucks team that's not at full strength, and they're missing a key piece in Bledsoe. But he's not like the reason that
right.
Milwaukee is as great as they are. It's been a team effort for them, and as a team, when you have a team like Milwaukee does, that's why they're able to be in the top, what is it, top five in both offense and defense.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So they're shorthanded, but we're still going to, this game, in my opinion, is going to be like the second genuine playoff atmosphere for the Lakers this season. The first one was the opener against the Clippers. Like, that place was insane. But this game is the first one since the opener where there's so much, like, I don't know, like, bragging rights, I guess, for who the actual legitimate best team in the league is.
Yeah, it's on the line.
It's on the line on that night. So it's going to be cool to watch, dude. Like, I'm excited to see. And I hope that someone like a Danny Green does break out of this slump for a marquee matchup like this, because
we're going to need it.
We need it. Yeah.
We're going to need it if we're going to, I think this goes back to last week, how we talked about how the Lakers peaked. If our shooting doesn't improve, then definitely yes, we have. If our three-point shooters don't at least start hitting at the normal clip that they do, that Danny Green normally does, that Avery Bradley can, that KCP can, that our shooters can, then we're done. That's it.
Yeah, very true. We'll see what happens, but I'm excited for that game. And predictions?
I'm scared.
What are you saying? And last week, I think you got one correct that I didn't.
Right.
You called that the Lakers were going to beat Miami, and I thought they were going to lose. So you have the hot hand currently, good sir. What does your magic ball tell you? Is it a magic ball? I don't even know.
I'm scared. It's the Book of Miles time. I'm scared to open it, and I'm scared to say it, but I'm going to tell you right now, the Lakers are going to go 1-2.
Really?
They're going to go 1-2.
Oh, Book of Miles. I haven't opened it in a while, and this
is
why.
The Lakers are going to... So I'm going to go crazy. They're going to get up for the Milwaukee game, but they're going to lose this Indiana game, and they're going to lose the Denver game.
Wow. Okay. Do you think that the losses are going to be close?
Oh, they'll be close.
Okay.
Well, I think the Denver game won't be as close as we think it is. The Indiana game will be close. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to lose that one in a nail biter. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why it'll wake them up from Milwaukee. But then when we get home, they're kind of going to relax and they won't be able to. That's what my gut's saying. They won't be able to, like, come back, and they're going to get shell shocked by this Denver team. But I mean, I won't say 2-1, but I'm saying 1-2. I'm going to say they're going to lose to the Nuggets. I'm going to say they're going to lose to the Pacers, especially after that Hawks game. That was just, they should have not, that game should not have been close at all.
No, it shouldn't have. There are glaring deficiencies in this team.
Yeah, I just don't want to fall, and it makes for great drama, though.
Yeah.
So I'm picking the Pacers and the Nuggets because I want to believe in LeBron's. They're not going to lose back-to-back games. But I think it might be Bucks-Nuggets. But I just don't think they're going to.
Really? Okay.
Okay, my honest opinion is Bucks-Nuggets.
Okay.
They're
going to
lose
yeah.
those back-to-back.
We want your honest opinion. So
yeah.
If that's what it is, stand by it.
It's Bucks and Nuggets. They're going to be, I think the Bucks game isn't going to be that close. I think the Bucks are actually going to beat us by at least five.
Okay.
And then the Nuggets game will be a close nail biter. Maybe a last minute shot that we that someone misses.
Mm-hmm. And we lose. All right. I'm going to say that we go 2-1 and that we beat both the Pacers and the Bucks and we lose to the Nuggets.
Right.
And then go into Christmas Day with
fire.
Yeah, our the goal of not losing back to back on the line on Christmas Day. Indiana, like I said earlier, I'm not too concerned about them, but the Bucks game I feel like is going down to the wire. I legitimately see that game either being a last second buzzer beater shot in regulation or being an overtime victory for one of the teams. But I'm gonna say it's the Lakers for this matter. I don't feel 100% confident about it though. Like, and
I'm
that's
scared, dude.
I am too. The cool thing is though about this stretch for the Lakers, by the end of 2019, we're gonna have a really good idea of where the Lakers rank in the hierarchy of the NBA.
Right.
If we're legitimately a top tier team that has separation from the others, or if we're just kind of lumped in with a couple of other teams.
Definitely,
you know?
You can get that feel. Kind of like how last year we knew that Warriors and Houston were kind of just above the rest. And that was the finals last year.
Mm-hmm.
Or 2 years ago, excuse me. And how we kind of knew Toronto was coming out of the East last year. Toronto or Celtics.
Yeah.
You know, we knew Philly wasn't the team. Even if they had a better record, you know, or were top three in the East. We'll definitely see that with the Lakers. You know what? Forget it. I'm changing it.
No! Do you mean it? Do you
actually? I do mean it. Lakers are going to go 3-0, baby.
3-0?
Lakers are going to go 3-0 this.
Wow.
They're going to beat the Bucks. It'll be a close game. And, you know, they're going to lose to the Clippers again, though. But that's next week.
Don't put that bad voodoo in this episode, man.
But LeBron is going to LeBron it up. And AD knows, too. Pacers, they should beat. It'll be another close game, but they're gonna go 3-0. All three are gonna be close games, even the Pacers game.
All right,
that's it. That's it for real this time. That's it for real this time.
What a switch. What a misdirection.
1-2, 2-1, then 3-0.
Man.
This is it for sure. 3-0.
All right, MD with the hezzy. So 3-0 it is for Miles. I'll say 2-1. Dropping to the Nugs. We'll see how that pans out. All right, let's go ahead and wrap this baby up.
We'll play another ranking game this week.
Down.
So we'll rank the Lakers legends. I think we'll obviously have some bias. But here are the 6-7 legends, 8 legends that we've written down that I have, and we can rank them in order from 1-8.
Yeah.
Kobe Bryant, Kobe, Shaq, Kareem, Magic, James Worthy, Jerry West, Wilt, Elgin Baylor.
Okay. Do you want to do, are we ranking all of those? Are we doing top three, top five?
We're ranking all of those 1-8.
Wow.
So we can start, let's break it up into 4 different segments.
Okay.
1-2, 3-4, 5-6, and 7-8. Cool?
Cool. All right. You want to start or you want me to start?
Go ahead.
All right. Number one. Kobe Bean Bryant. I refuse to be martyred and choose anyone else other than Kobe. And so it is him. He's the GOAT, man, for the Lakers. Unquestionable. What he's done for the franchise. 5 chips. I know 3 of them came with Shaq, but his heart, his passion, his loyalty, like, he embodied what the city of Los Angeles is. And so I refuse to put him any lower than number one on this list of greats. Number two for me, Magic Johnson. He really was the reason that brought the Lakers back into relevancy after they had a hiatus from championship glory.
Right.
And was a part of modernizing the NBA with Larry Bird. And I am choosing to only evaluate him based off of his on-court success, because most recently he kind of did the Lakers dirty But you know what? The man just wasn't cut out for that job. And I feel like it's more of an indictment on Genie and the front office trying to do a solid for, you know, another Laker who just wasn't cut out for it. But I'm going to go Kobe 1, Magic 2. How about you, good sir?
I'm in that same exact order.
Okay.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Same reasons. Those two are the icons of the Lakers franchise. They literally still have pull in bringing free agents. Magic Johnson does, you know, pull in bringing free agents into the Lakers. Kobe will forever be immortalized as a Laker. I mean, seeing him at the game, the love he got, it's been like 2-3 years since he's retired.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh man, love that man. So 3 and 4, do you want to start or I can start?
You start this time. We'll snake it.
All right. So 3 for me is the great, the logo, Jerry West. He has had such an impact not only on the Lakers, like Jerry West was the reason why we drafted Kobe Bryant, why we stole Kobe Bryant. Like, he is the direct reason for another Laker legend on this list.
Yeah.
Why we have five other championships. And he also gave us Powell.
He did.
I mean, you toss in what he's done for other NBA teams too. He helped build the Golden State Warriors. He was like why the Warriors are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
He is just crazy. And his point, he's the only NBA player to win NBA Finals MVP and lose.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Oh, you're right. I do remember when LeBron was getting smoked by the Warriors. He had put up such an incredible stat line throughout the series that they were saying, oh, maybe he's going to be the first since West. So you're right. Wow, I forgot about that.
That is crazy. To be that, to lose in NBA Finals, but still be named the MVP, to demand that much respect,
mm-hmm.
and to be the logo of the NBA, there's a mm-hmm. reason, you know? So he's number 3, not just for what he does for the Lakers. I wish the Lakers would call him back. I know he's on the Clippers now. Ugh. I wish the Lakers kind of like wished him back to kind of come in and just be a consultant, you know?
Yeah.
He should be so much more involved with the franchise than he is. I know him and Phil didn't get along, so that's why he kind of parted ways with the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
But now that Phil's long gone, I wish, you know, they can make something happen, but we'll see.
Yeah.
And then number 4 for me is definitely Shaq. There still hasn't been a player as dominant as he has been in the post, or dominant ever, I don't think. Just the sheer power and will that he showed and took over games in the post was just ridiculous. He's the whole reason why I feel like the NBA in the early kind of 2000s and throughout till like 2010s, you know,
mm-hmm.
really had such a big focus on, you need to have a great post player, you need to have a great post defense.
Yeah.
You know, where the game was really inside out.
Right.
Because of Shaq.
Right. Yeah, most dominant player, dude, for sure. That guy was a beast. Absolute monster.
His favorite move of all time, I'll never forget hearing this and watching this clip when I was like 12, was called Black Tornado.
When you just
typical,
put it, yeah, the spin cycle.
Yeah. He would like put it up and then just spin really quick.
Yeah.
Get the defender on him and then, oh man.
Black I remember
tornado.
That.
Remember that.
I remember. All right, for me, number 3, I'm going to go Kareem. Number 3, the guy had the most unstoppable move of all time. Everyone knew what he was going to do. He wasn't this crazy athletic freak jumping over you. He had insane length, so that certainly played to his advantage. But really, the move that he did, if anyone in the modern NBA took the time to develop that move, as unsexy as it is, they would become pretty unstoppable if they're able to get it down correctly, just because of the separation that the skyhook creates and how you're really able to get it off pretty much anywhere on the court. So I choose Kareem for that reason, that he had a move that no one could stop and everyone knew what he was going to do. So give me Kareem. And then number 4, I'm going to go Shaq, just for the same exact reasons that you mentioned. I'm not going to restate it all, but just completely unstoppable when he was in his prime, when he's engaged, and yeah, just an absolute monster. So Kareem 3, Shaq 4.
Sneak draft. So 5 and 6 for you?
Yeah. All right. 5, 6. I'm going to go. Ooh, man, this is tough now. I'm going to go Wilt 5, Elgin Baylor 6. Wilt, never saw the dude play. I mean, I've seen some black and white footage, some color restored imagery, but when you've won as many championships as he has, and you have the pedigree that he does, the size, I mean, I would want the guy on my team, hands down. There's a reason why his number's up in the rafters, and it's just hard because, you know, we don't have the experience of really watching him play, knowing like who to really compare him to and whatnot.
Serious.
But I believe that he deserves to be up there. So give me Wilt. And then Elgin Baylor, the versatility. I think you kind of touched on it earlier when we were talking in between segments. He was like the LeBron before LeBron. Just he's able to do so much. And if you go back and look at his stats, it's just insane.
It's like, crazy.
Yeah. And he wasn't like the biggest dude out there either. You know, like he just had such a well-rounded game. It was really, really cool. So, yeah, give me Wilt and then EB.
For my 5-6, it's Kareem for those exact reasons why you said. And 6, Wilt. 100 points a game. Even if it wasn't done as a Laker. Like, yep. That's crazy. He eventually did win a championship with the Lakers. Him, Elgin Baylor, and Jerry West. Like, big three. Oh, my goodness. Imagine having those three on your team. Ridiculous.
Not fair.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think this is the last year now, right?
7-8, yeah.
7-8, so...
I'll go 7-8. 7-8 for me are definitely Elgin Baylor and then James Worthy. Elgin Baylor, like you said, like we talked about, LeBron before LeBron, Magic before the Magic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we had... Just, like, I wish we had, like, television highlights from Elgin Baylor, Jerry West, and Wilt. Like... We would see, like, Jerry West was the Steph Curry, was the shooter before the shooter was invented.
Mm-hmm.
Hitting these crazy shots that only counted for two.
Mm-hmm.
He's, like, part of the reason why a three-point was invented. Because it's like, this guy can shoot better than everyone else. He should have a three-point range. Like,
right.
It's ridiculous how there's not, like, worth more points. Which would increase his points by a ton.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wilt, 100 points. 50, so he had to make 50 shots, at least.
Yeah.
That's without free throws. He had to make at least 50 shots in a game. That's ridiculous.
Right.
That's ridiculous. And then Elgin Baylor, like, assists. And imagine, like, back then, they probably didn't even, like, count stats properly. So to even have those crazy numbers, I'm sure there were missed rebounds, missed assists, and missed points that he should have. It's just ridiculous to me.
Yeah, it is. It really is. For me, all right, round it out for me. I'm going to go Jerry West and then James Worthy. The logo at number 7. He changed the game, man. He's the reason there's a three-point shot. I think about that highlight where he, at the buzzer, shot it from like, what was it, like half quarter or
to tie the game?
Just to tie the game. Get two points on that.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine, like, in today's NBA, like, you're freaking out. That was like, to tie the game and send it into overtime. So give me the logo there, and then James Worthy, the goggle man, Statue of Liberty dunk, key part of the Showtime Lakers. Good times, man, good times. So that'll round it out for me for ranking those all-time great Lakers.
Awesome. Well, here's to another great week of Lakers basketball. Go Lakers, beat the Bucks, go 3-0, I believe in you. Good luck, Rye, with your test. Sorry you're missing it, bro.
Oh, I'll catch the highlights. But, yep, go Lakers. I'll catch you guys next week when I am a free man.